Chapter 2 of The War of Antichrist with the Church and Christian Civilization. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by Fred Abood. The War of Antichrist with the Church and Christian Civilization by Monsignor George F. Dillon. Chapter 2. The Rise of Atheism in Europe. In order, then, to comprehend thoroughly the nature of the conspiracy I speak of, it will be necessary to go back to the opening of the last century and contemplate the rise and advance of the atheism and anti-Christianity, which it now spreads rapidly through the earth. As that century opened, it disclosed a world suffering from a multitude of evils. The so-called Reformation, which arose and continued to progress during the two preceding centuries, had well nigh run its course. It had ceased to be a persecuting force on the continent, and only for reasons of plunder continued to use the weapons of oppression in Ireland. Scarcely a shred of the original doctrines of Luther remained as he had left them, yet no signs of return to the Church were to be observed amongst his followers. Malignant hatred of the spouse of Christ continued, when the reasons alleged for the malignity had departed. Amidst the multitude at the time calling themselves Protestants, little remained certain in Christian belief. The principle of private judgment introduced in apparent zeal for the pure worship and doctrine of Christ had ended in leaving no part of the teaching of Christ unchallenged. It had rendered his divinity disbelieved in, and his very existence doubted, by many who yet called themselves his followers. Socinus and his nephew had succeeded in binding the various groups of Polish and German Protestants in a league where nothing was required but undying hatred and opposition to the Catholic Church. Bale threw doubt upon everything, and Spinoza destroyed the little respect left for the deity in the system of Socinus by introducing pantheism to the world. In effect, both the deists and the pantheists of that period were atheists. Whether they held that everything was God, or that God was not such a God as Christians hold him to be, they did away with belief in the true God, and raised up an impossible being of their own imagination in his stead. In life, in conduct, and in adoration of God, they were practical atheists, and soon manifested that hatred for the truth which the atheist is sure to possess. Their theories made headway early in the century throughout Central Europe and England. Bolingbroke, Shaftesbury, and the elite amongst the statesmen and literary aristocracy of the reign of Queen Anne were infidels. Tyndall, Collins, Wollaston, Toland, and Chubbs were as advanced as Tom Paine was, later on, in the way of atheism. But however much England and Germany had advanced their Protestantism to what was called free thinking, both were soon destined to be eclipsed in that sad progress by Catholic and monarchical France. France owes this evil preeminence to one individual who, though largely assisted in his road to ruin by Bale, and subsequently by association with English infidels, had yet enough of innate wickedness in himself to outstrip them all. That individual was Voltaire. End of chapter 2.